Hey guys, it's Snoop here with my good pal Higgins.
No.
Oh, are we? Did I get something wrong?
Mean, sorta. You were close.
Okay.
You're Higgins, I'm Snoop.
Well, that's good.
What is this that we're
This
doing?
is a Rebirth recap. Another comic book cop. Oh gosh, another comic book podcast. I was gonna get that right and mess up the names on purpose, and everything went.
But now people are just going to think that you messed up the names and then the name of the show
I
that we
know, I was
do.
about to get it, and then I messed up the word podcast.
You're 0 for 2.
I'm 0 for 2.
Well, what do we do here on Rebirth Recap, another comic book podcast? See, I could say it right.
Well, words are hard, but we read comics, and then we talk about them, so people can listen to us talk about them.
That's right, Higgins or Snoop or whoever you are. We talk about comics, specifically DC Comics.
Yeah, and then some offhand ones here or there.
Yeah, we have one offhand one as well, so we'll talk about that. Let's talk about other stuff right now. Specifically, let's talk about.
Do you want to talk about Batman?
Yeah.
All right.
Number 33.
The Rules of Engagement,
Part 1.
still written by Tom King.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna do his thing. I guess they want to continue on with him.
Yeah, I think he's set to kind of go for a good bit now.
So they can kind of go with what he wants with this Catwoman stuff.
Yeah, I think he has a pretty good, like, overall story he wanted to tell when he either was approached by DC or he approached DC, so it makes sense. And I like what he's been doing with the character. I really like the last arc, which we've covered, the War of Jokes and Riddles. So this is the start of a new arc where basically Batman's just, he's off and about with his new lady.
Gallivanting.
He's gallivanting.
Out in Camdear, is that right? Comdear? Comder? Something like
Some
that.
country that he's not supposed to
That he's
be in.
not supposed to be in. The
Yeah.
Justice League said no, and he made the rules. And he was like, you know what? I'm gonna go there anyways, because I'm Batman.
Only Batman can break Batman's rules.
Yeah, and he's even not happy about it, so.
He's never happy, though.
He seems a bit even more unfriendly this go around for some reason to me.
Well, that's why it's a good
He's
thing
just.
he's got his new fiance
Yeah.
just tagging along. Do you like the? I really actually enjoy the whole Catwoman Batman relationship that they've worked on here.
I do like their back and forth. Like when they first get to the door, and he's like just kind of sitting there, and he's talking to the guard or whatever. And then Selina's like, "Can I take care of this one?" And he's like, "All right, but take it easy."
Be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's just like, I'm always not. Yeah, I like the whole like little back and forth as a couple that they're doing now. It's kind of cute. But it's
Yeah.
also just it's in the whole world of Batman, you know, there's still those
Yeah,
characters and everything.
they're still the same characters that they always were, even before the engagement.
Tom King really likes for them to refer to each other as,
Cat and Bat.
yeah, I don't know why, but it's whatever. And I guess I'm not sure really what he's gonna do. We know at the end of this that he's going to that country he's not supposed to be in, specifically for Talia al Ghul.
To
She's
meet with
back.
Talia al
She's
Ghul.
doing all sorts of sexy, just exotic stuff like she always does.
What I can only assume is that Bruce and Talia are still somehow intertwined,
You know what I think
and
it is?
they have to get a divorce.
It's what I think too. I think that there's for whatever reason they're married already, and
Yeah.
he's like, yeah,
We gotta get this. We gotta get this annulled fast, Talia.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see what she's done because I don't think we've really seen Talia since this new relaunch.
Oh, we
So,
haven't seen her in person, but we've seen Damian plenty, so the spawn.
yeah, and he seems pretty upset about it as well. So maybe he was around for whatever got her sent to Kadir, that country where she's just having fun group orgies with people.
Yeah.
I like that introduction to her character where she's just kind of like hanging around waiting for him, and there's just a bunch of just naked people all over. She's going to be calling him beloved a lot in the next issue. But I liked it. I liked my favorite part was the little meetup between all the members of the like all the
All
Robins.
the previous Robins and the new Robin, they all looked a lot different than they normally do, I feel like, but it didn't look bad.
Has Joel Jones done an issue of Batman at this
I've
point?
never heard of this person before, if I'm being honest.
I've heard of her. She's done stuff we've reviewed, but I don't know if she's done Batman before. I think she did good art here.
I mean, it all looked fine. Batman looked a little more gruff, and to be fair, she wasn't drawing people in their suits in that scenario, so like people haven't done that as often.
Yeah.
So they look different anyways.
Yeah, it's good art. I like it.
Duke Thomas looked a lot different, I think, than what we've seen of him, even though he's been like a no-show for the past, like, 15 issues
at least. I forgot he existed. Because the last time I remember seeing him was, I guess, one of the preludes for Dark Knight's Metal.
Where he hasn't even been a big part of that, even.
No.
I thought we were going to see him more, and then he kind of just went off. But he'll probably be back in that, too,
I know we're going to have to review that little mini-series with him later next year.
Well, he's supposed to get his own book eventually, I think, is what they told me.
Oops, phone's not on. That's embarrassing. Phone's not on silent. Anywho, I think you're very upset with me, I could tell.
Here you got my eyebrows raised. It doesn't come across on the mic, but...
No, they can feel it.
Okay.
Good. But no, I think this was a good issue, a good start to a new arc. I really liked what Tom King has done. Tom King, what he's done with his character, is it's not what I'm used to. And that kind of was a little off-putting at first. You know, I didn't really love the first bit of Batman when he started. Mm-hmm. But I think just telling this big story, it's really starting to come together for me. And like I said, I like the relationship between Catwoman and Batman and where that's going to go. I still think something really bad's going to happen and she's going to die at a wedding. But even if that happens, I'll probably be pretty fine with it.
You think he's going to pull a Game of Thrones on us?
I think Tom King knows how to depress someone. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. You want to get into another book?
Yeah.
Can I do another Bat-related book if you're fine with it?
Yeah, that's fine if you want to hop right in.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and get this one out of the way. I'm still reading Batwoman and issue number...
I started Batwoman. I'm not quite up there, but I've actually started it now, so I've seen what's going on.
Yeah, there's a little bit of stuff going on. It's not really that much. It's all right. This is issue number 8, Fear and Loathing Part 2. Still written by Marguerite Bennett with art by Fernando Blanco. The art's the best part of the book. I think I mentioned that the last time I reviewed an issue. This arc specifically about her in the Sahara Desert trying to track down someone who is working for one of the evil organizations of DC that's always pulling stuff behind the strings. This one, I think, is called The Many Arms of Death.
I think they're still, that's from like the front part of it. They're like an arms dealer type thing.
That's my biggest complaint with all the books in Rebirth. If you read most of them, is that they're just kind of repeat, like each book is just kind of copying the other. Like Green Arrow has its own organization that deals things for money and corporate stuff. Here's this one. Nightwing has one, I think, at one point. Like it does get kind of old. And I think this one's not really that interesting. I think the agents that they've had with code names have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
We saw it in the last issue where basically she was taking down people that work for this organization, and she's going after someone called the Needle, who we find out at the end is the Scarecrow. I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. And there's some really good art here because it's just a bunch of like her getting hit with fear gas and tripping balls, and it's still going more into her backstory where she was... Before she became Batwoman and she was lost, she was basically an alcoholic and she got stranded on a country and fell in love with a woman who runs it and kind of how that all fell apart.
Yeah.
So it's still kind of going into that.
She's doing a little bit of loathing is what you're saying. She's
scared of it.
Afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Hit the nail right on the head, Higgins.
The titles don't really like normally line up that well, but like...
They did something right here. Yeah, but it's good art. Like, just she meets up with someone who you've read Detective Comics, so you know a big part of the beginning of that was Kate Kane, Batwoman's dad, ended up being the villain for the first arc.
Yeah,
and his like weird bat themed organization, like military unit,
the Colony.
Yeah, there's a guy from here. I don't really remember him if he's been in anything else. But basically, he was like one of the head lieutenants for her dad, and he got caught too. And it's just them breaking out together and getting ready to take on the Scarecrow. But they get hit with fear gas and they see different things. That part was actually kind of cool because whatever fear gas they were hit with, they were seeing their fears. But it wasn't like just kind of the usual where they were so terrified they can't really function. Like they're just kind of walking around in these hallucinations. But they're seeing different things. And like she's seeing like a city and dead foxes and stuff because that again links to her past and something that happened there. But she's asking him, like, hey, what are you seeing? And he's like, well, I used to play this game as a kid, and the robots used to scare me. So I'm seeing a bunch of, like, 8-bit little robot men shooting at me. And she's like, well, you take the robots on the right, and I'll take the dead foxes on the left. It's like, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, it was it's looks like it's something I'm gonna finish it up. I just didn't have time this weekend.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, parts of it are better. I think the stuff that is actually linking up with Detective Comics currently, the stuff with the future Tim Drake, there's stuff there for her point of view and set in that future that he's from. Like, yeah. That's what I kind of want to read more of. Like, I want, like, an arc about that, and I assume that eventually that's what it's going to turn into. Because that future version of Kate Kane's just really badass and just doing cool Batwoman stuff.
It's not quite as wordy as some of the other stuff I've been reading lately, so it was, it was a nice change of pace.
For sure. What else you been reading, Higgins?
Oh, goodness. You want to hop into Green Arrow, since we've been talking about him?
The Green Arrow?
Yeah, we just ended up an arc that he's been traveling around.
Yeah, the issue before this one was the
Hard Traveling Hero.
Yeah. Well, there's also the Gotham Resistance stuff, right?
Well, yeah. That was the one that we ended off on, or the one that was right before this, but
yeah, so now he's back in Star City or Seattle or whatever.
He's back in Star City. His lawyer's very upset because there's a trial, and the issue is called The Trial of Two Cities, Part 1.
Yeah, we got a lot of new arcs this week.
Yeah, they're all starting up. I kind of like this one. It brought it back. We got what you've been asking for a while. A nice Green Arrow Black Canary getaway.
There's so much sexy time in this issue. I love it.
It's like even if we're not like around them, they manage to do a little cutaway scene of them just in the background with like some nice pink shading on them, so you know like something's really hot and heavy going on.
I specifically wanted beach sexy time, but they did give me like that.
They gave you beach house sexy time.
Yeah, they gave
to
me
be fair.
With the outlook and the sunset. I'm like, good for them. Like, I don't know who's the more attractive here. It's a tough bet.
She cleaned them up though.
She cleans up nice too. Good for like this is just every like I think this is a good issue because it is Oliver coming back to Star City. I think it did a pretty good job of kind of catching me up on the stuff I forgot about because it has been a while since that stuff was, you know, really at the forefront. We knew there was side stuff going on with Black Canary and doesn't she call herself Red Arrow now?
She's been trying.
it's not going to stick, I don't think.
Well, Oliver's not really happy about it, but he still keeps calling her Emmy. But like the only thing I wasn't thrilled about is they just skipped the part where they told us how they took down the organization that was in the back. They were like, "Yeah, we took those people down." And I don't think we ever really saw them beat the person.
Well, we saw
them. We saw the lady get captured. And then it cut.
We saw them find her at least, right?
Yeah, we saw them like basically find her and the organization. But I don't think we ever saw the fight that actually like ended up getting them out of there.
That's fair. I guess that would have been cool to see. But maybe they're saving that, you know, because those guys.
Maybe a flashback scene or something like that. I don't know.
They might just come back.
Yeah,
that's what I wouldn't be surprised if they bring that whole Underground Men stuff back again because it is what started out. Like that was the Rebirth issue as well. So it's pretty much been in this book the whole time. I'm kind of done with it right now. I want to see what they're doing here. We know the Ninth Circle was hit pretty hard in the last big arc where he took down the big satellite thing, and we've known for a while that his mom is alive, and it just ended on that usual comic cliffhanger of things are going bad for her, so she's got to make some new moves, and so she decides to reveal that she's not dead, and he's like, he's like, "Mom?"
And she is a very, very bad lady.
Yeah, it's kind of in the same vein as the last Flash issue where another character returns from the dead supposedly and she's clearly evil but the main character hasn't realized it yet.
But it's like he hasn't been reading what we've been reading. He's just been living it. So.
Yeah, he should really read his own book. Catch him up a lot quicker.
Yep.
I just hope that his mom coming back doesn't get in the way of more Black Canary, Green Arrow, sexy time.
He's going to have to wait till his mom goes to bed before they can. That's for sure.
I don't think Black Canary's going to be happy about that.
Not at all.
Nope. The art's really good on this. Who's writing this again?
Oh, I have no idea.
Benjamin Percy's still writing. He's been writing pretty much all of this, I believe. And Jamal Campbell did the art on this. I like the art on this. It's really good. They tend to, in Green Arrow, go back and forth with artists. You know, someone will do like this more sketch and cartoony style, which is still good. And then you'll have a person like this come in who kind of, it's not like super realistic. It still feels like a comic book, but it does like, it's got great detail to it.
Yeah.
Like even just like the clothes they're wearing and everything, you can look at that and just see like, the logos on their shirts, they come in very clear. And his facial hair, it's noticeably different from the beginning, and then she cuts it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
into his normal goatee.
Yeah. So, it's good. I like this issue. I think it's a good start of a good arc. That lawyer's pretty upset with him, though.
Yeah, she's not happy, but I mean, to be fair, like, he skipped out on bail.
Yeah, and she needs that.
Like, that's, like, gotta hurt the case by a good bit.
Yeah, her daughter needs that money.
Needs it. But, we'll hop into Green Lanterns. You're not that upset about this one, are you?
No, Higgins, this is what a good issue of Green Lantern.
Oh, okay, like, okay.
This is a great issue.
I was just making sure. Like, I didn't want to jump into another pancake argument, but if you're fine with it, I'll jump into this one.
Well, Higgins, as you know, the last issue really upset me because it was utterly pointless.
Breakfast food is a touchy subject, I understand.
Yeah. Well, this is the start of a new arc as well.
Yeah, Work Release Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
Still written by Tim Seeley?
This
is Tim Seeley taking over. Yeah. That's right.
Sam Humphries has been the writer. Yeah, Sam Humphries has been the usual writer, and he finished up with that House Party issue. I like what Sam Humphries did. I don't think that he writes dialogue great, but I think he got a good sense of those characters. And so I was interested to see Tim Seeley does the Nightwing stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not even really, I'm not 100% bored on that book half the time.
Yeah.
So I was interested. Yeah. I was interested to see kind of what he could do with this. I like this.
Held it on the same vein as what Sam Humphries has been doing as far as the two characters and how well they mesh together.
Yeah, I think he jumped right into it and got a sense of who these people, you know, who the characters of Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz are. And he did stuff like in one issue that it's really interesting. Like, I didn't think that he could focus on like the space stuff, you know, them actually being Green Lanterns and fighting, and merge that with the bigger character stuff of Jessica Cruz's social anxiety and also Simon Baz and his religion and how that kind of affects his life. And there's some like it's pretty sad moments in here, just kind of their day to day.
It touches on some stuff that I really like seeing in just like any kind of superhero stuff where like they actually have to get jobs and stuff.
Yeah,
just
like
it's
being
like
normal.
These people. I know they save the world, but they don't get paid money for it. It's like, how are they living? Are they just mooching off their friends, sleeping from couch to couch?
Well, that's what Simon does.
It's like, yeah, that's what he does now. He lives with his sister, but like, they're like, you need to get a job.
Yeah, I actually like. I didn't think I was gonna like that aspect of it, but I think what kept me entertained with it is that it didn't just make that the whole issue, and then at the end set up the stuff going into space. It went back and forth. From the past where they were being told, you know, get a job. You know, she was told to grow and because she's slowly getting over her anxiety.
Yeah.
And he's like, her how do you say it? Psychiatrist. There we go.
Yeah.
You're rubbing off on me. Her psychiatrist was basically like, you know, do this, take the next step. And then it also goes into Simon Baz and how he hasn't worked and he's using him being a space cop as an excuse. But we later find out that he's also kind of nervous because when
he has that record.
Yeah, and it's...
expunged, but it still shows up and it still shows the background.
Yeah, he's still list. You know, you can look up on the internet and he can. You'll find him listed as a terrorist.
Pop up. Yeah.
And that's something that I definitely, like, I empathize with. Obviously, like, that's not really something that I have to worry about as much. But I think they did this in a way that kind of makes me feel for that character because that would be a terrible situation to be in. Basically, like, you made mistakes. Everybody does. And he got in trouble, but it's just worse off for him because of his race and his religion.
Yeah.
And that sucks. So, yeah, and so I like this. And I like Jessica Cruz is such a good Green Lantern now.
Yeah, she's really good. The only thing I didn't like about Jessica Cruz's stuff this time was... they made it sound like being a waitress in a coffee shop was going to be, like, the most difficult thing in the world.
Well, Higgins, have you ever been a waitress?
There wasn't a customer in that coffee shop, I don't think. There might have been one, but, like, she was not going to have to deal with anything.
Well, Higgins, why don't you...
I'm not going to say it's not a tough job. I understand waitressing in some places, but waitressing in a very empty coffee shop, I think she'll be just fine.
I think this book is exactly what you need because you're clearly not cultured enough to understand the problems that a waitress at a coffee shop can go through.
She might not be able to make a caramel macchiato right away, but she might be able to say someone else should make it. I don't know if you noticed, but I said macchiato flawlessly there.
You took a real risk.
I could have gone with something easy like a black coffee, maybe grande.
Yeah, but who gets those at a coffee shop?
Nobody. I mean, I did one time, but I needed it.
All I know is that I'd take being a space cop over being a waitress at a coffee shop any day.
Well, yeah, that's true.
We're just at different stages in our life, I guess.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I'm ready for the next issue of this. I hopefully Tim Seeley can keep it up.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna hop into with what they got. I guess they're just gonna kind of show them working their jobs, doing more space sector stuff that doesn't involve Earth.
Yeah,
they're gonna keep the Earth stuff for their day jobs
until they're ready to bring back the Red Lantern stuff again.
I don't know why one of them doesn't just work in a diner. Flipping some pancakes.
Sounds like you need to write a letter. Higgins, you don't
like you really just missed an opportunity.
Higgins, you don't mix business with pleasure.
That's true.
Oh, and also, God, we're really blanking on all this stuff today, but Eduardo Pensica did the art on this. He's done art before. It's good. Like, it's on par with anything else he's done for Green Lanterns.
Yeah, it was the typical Green Lantern stuff.
It's a good Wonder Woman construct he drew.
I'm happy about it.
I'm happy about it too, Higgins.
They were really stretching on their constructs for this one. She had like spiders and like full on like
she had a spider make a spider web.
Yeah,
like that's awesome.
Good.
Well, you want to talk about another Tim Seeley book since we're
another
already
Tim Seeley book?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, and this one was not as good.
Yeah.
I'm over Blockbuster, if I'm being honest. Like, I love Raptor. I love that he's in there, but the stuff that's behind it with the Blockbuster and him, Nightwing working with another villain to, like, get after the guy that he worked with before, yeah. It's like, it's just a little bit of the same Nightwing. You should really figure this out.
Because I told you you were going to knock that.
There we go. We're all square. We're all square now. I just karate chopped it.
For no reason. So let's keep talking about...
I was waving my arms around.
Control yourself so we could talk about Nightwing number 30 once more. This is Raptor's Revenge Part 2. This is also written by Tim Seeley. I know Sam Humphries is supposed to eventually take over, so maybe after this arc, that's when he'll step in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, because maybe we need a fresh writer on this just to like amp it up for me. Yeah. But like Tim Seeley's... I think ran his course on this one.
I think so too. Because it's just what I liked about Nightwing when I started out. It wasn't the best by any means, but it was at least fun. And
there's new ideas and new arcs that weren't everywhere. And now I think he's running out of content for Bloodhaven.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that he's just kind of recycling stuff like Raptor's back, Blockbuster. He never went away. He's always kind of been in the background. We knew he was going to come back. The only thing that's interesting about this particular iteration of Blockbuster is that he keeps his intelligence. And so that's kind of a cool thing where someone who's as strong as Blockbuster can be is also smart. And he's also very business savvy and he has good motivations. He grew up in this city and he does love it and he wants to make it great.
He's got a nice kingpin kind of thing going on for him.
Yeah, but he's not as interesting as the kingpin.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that's kind of the biggest misstep with his character is that he could be a lot more compelling than he is. Plus, just get rid of that stupid ponytail.
Yeah, he's balding with a ponytail. So
yeah, the Raptor stuff was actually pretty good in this, like you said. I think Raptor's whole thing of like, I'm gonna take down the upper class because they don't care about any of us. Like that whole bit kind of gets old after a while. I just whatever to me, but I did like how Nightwing came to him last issue to Blockbuster and asked him for help, and Raptor is always pretty much ahead of the game, and he caught on to that, and he basically, as a threat to Blockbuster, made him expose himself in front of the city, like they all, or at least a bunch of kids. And again, Blockbuster loves the city, he wants people to respect him and admire him, and now they're scared of him.
Yeah, at least a little bit. At least he picked the perfect setting to make people scared of him too, like in front of the children, like he said. Like anybody probably would have been scared, but like a room full of children or like a rooftop full of children.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got to put that in there.
Yeah, so they know.
Yeah, because they're already scared because they're on that rooftop.
They can't get away. No. It's not like they can just leave. They're pretty much stuck there. Raptor didn't have any problem getting off that rooftop, but children can't jump off buildings.
Or can they?
Some can, but not these ones.
They're too busy being emotionally scarred, because either they're going to be terrified because they watched a man get hung, or they're going to watch him turn into a big, scary Frankenstein monsters man. So yeah, either way, not good. I do like Blockbuster is, he cares a little bit, because one guy was just like, well, why don't you just murder all these kids and make it look like an accident? And he's like, nah, just buy them off. And if they say anything, just take all their money away.
Yep.
I was like, well, that's still mean, but at least you're nice to kids, I guess.
Yeah, you didn't have to murder them.
Yeah, although, honestly, I don't even remember really any of the stuff with Nightwing.
Yeah, I know he's working for...
He works for Blockbuster undercover.
As a, blackjack dealer.
You did that once.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you have that same just swanky suit?
Yeah, I wore a tuxedo shirt with a nice bow tie.
Ooh.
I didn't have a vest. Dick Grayson had a vest, but I want to say he had a vest.
Oh, he definitely had a vest.
All right. That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's just a lot of, right now, the one thing I don't like about Nightwing is he's supposed to, like, Dick Grayson's fun, and it's every now and again, it's good to kind of see those more serious themes. I want to be better than Batman. I want to be different. Right now, it's just a lot of him kind of being mopey. Because Huntress broke up with him, because he's not telling her things.
I completely forgot about all the stuff with Huntress.
Yeah, she's just out, I guess, because he's like, she's out of my life after she kneed me in the balls.
Yep.
Like, I think you're better off.
Yeah.
And that's all Huntress was there to do, I know. Like, she's just there to create drama, and now that that's over, there's still a lot of stuff going on with Sean Sang, who you know I like as a character.
Yeah.
It seems like there's some stuff going on with the pigeon again.
Yeah, some pigeon, and is in cahoots with the raptor.
Yeah, which that's, I think, I guess...
I don't know why I didn't think about it before, but, like, for some reason when they were saying raptor, I was thinking, like...
Velociraptor.
For, like, the longest time, but, like, raptor's like another bird.
Yeah.
They're all birds. They're all birds.
It's all starting to click together for you, isn't it?
I was so confused for the longest time, and then I was like, pigeon, raptor. It's like, they're not like a normal pair, but they are both birds.
Nightwing.
Nightwing's a bird.
Wait a minute. Defacer? Oh, wait.
No, that's just
it's a spray paint, or a spray paint brand, I guess.
I guess. But, like, I like that better than the pigeon, so.
Yeah. I guess this is their way of kind of working these characters back in together, you know.
Yeah.
She, now her former boss is just up to no good, and she's going after her, probably, and... Then she'll meet up with Nightwing, and then they'll reluctantly team up, and then they'll have a moment and be back together again.
Pregnancy scare number two.
Sign me up. I want a whole arc of it, though, this time. Like, I want the pregnancy test itself to actually last 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Like, I want it. I want that issue to be 30 minutes long.
30 minutes
like, long. Like, it takes me 30 minutes to read the pregnancy test. Like, maybe the 10 pages of them, like, getting ready to do the pregnancy test. 10 of them actually doing the pregnancy test, him making awkward jokes about the pregnancy test, and then maybe they go into the kitchen and clean. And that's all I want.
I can live with that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening, Sam Humphries, that's on you next time. I think we talked about Nightwing enough. Let's get into some other books there. Higgins, what do you want to talk about?
Ooh, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Let's do Super Sons.
Super Sons, sure.
This arc has been going on for a little bit. I did enjoy this issue, but I'm ready for something new to start happening afterwards, I think.
Yeah, and this is Super Sons number nine.
Nine?
Yeah, it was last time.
Oh, okay.
This is Planet of the Capes Part 4.
So it sounds like we're going to get at least one more issue out of this guy.
Yeah, this is still...
They're normally pretty good about announcing finales as far as titles go, so...
That's fair, yeah. This is still written by Peter Tomasi and art by... Two people this time. We got Jorge Jimenez, who I think he did the art last issue, and maybe a couple other, and also Carmine DG and Domenico.
Yeah, I think you nailed it as much as you could.
You should really think about shortening for it.
Do you think Peter Tomasi really wants to keep the J in there? Is like that? That's like he wants us to know that J's there, because it's always there when he writes his name. He's like Peter J. Tomasi.
I don't know.
It's like, does he know another Peter Tomasi? So where it has to, like, he has to make that distinction.
I think it's just more of like a power move.
All right, I understand.
Like, he's the real Peter Tomasi.
He's the Peter J. Tomasi.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you like his writing on this, though?
Yeah, it was good. I liked where it went. I liked all the stuff with Cracklow. Like, he was never really that, like, compelling of a villain, so the fact that they flipped him kind of made him a little more interesting for me.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is the most I've cared about Cracklow since he showed up.
Yeah. Maybe it's because his name's Cracklow. I don't know.
Well, his name's Cracklow, and he plays with clay, so it's like, whatever. Yeah, I think you're right. I think, because this was a character that was introduced at the beginning of this arc, or has this all been the same arc?
It's been the same arc. It's like, this is the fourth issue of a long, long thing. The start of it was where they were fighting him.
Yeah, and he turned Robin.
When he first got the clay into it.
Well, he turned Robin into Old Man Robin.
Yeah. Oh, did that happen with
yeah,
him?
Yeah. And
the Time Master clay guy did it to him?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like,
we've been here a while.
No, but basically, yeah, that villain who we found out he got his powers from a different version of himself, and that's the world that Superboy and Robin have been in this last couple issues. It, like, the whole living planet thing was just kind of boring, because
the Agardis thing.
Well, it's been, like, something like that's been done in comics before.
Yeah.
It's just been more interesting. This was okay. I think that, like you said, I think everything, like every issue that I had with this particular arc wasn't necessarily fixed, but it did kind of bring me into it, because we get a lot of motivations for these characters. They bring back the whole thing of Cracklow. Basically, he became a villain in the first place to be recognized and be remembered. And to take that, which I didn't really care about when they brought that up, and made me care about it by basically Cracklow opting to stay because this is how, like, he's not important back on his planet, but he can be important here. And also Superboy being like his dad and basically just giving a over-the-top speech about being a hero means. You know, it's like, you don't do this for recognition or anything. And if you are a hero, you just do the best you can. And like, that fits Superboy, who looks up to his dad so much. It has that element of Damian Wayne making fun of him. Because that's one of the best things about this book, is just them two
riffing off each other.
Yeah, it's great. I think, like, Peter Tomasi just knows how to write these two kids and make it fun. And it also helps them grow from each other. You know, John, again, is kind of like, he's a stickler for the rules and everything.
Yeah.
And Damian teaches him kind of, you know, do what you think you need to do and stop worrying about your folks all the time and getting in trouble. And Damian's just always over the top, you know, gung-ho, just runs into everything. John's there to kind of keep him under, you know, not on a leash necessarily, but just kind of make him think.
Keel.
Yeah, make him think. Because he thinks he's, you know, Damian's whole thing is he's so cocky and thinks he's the best. And John constantly kind of being there to remind him that he needs to maybe think twice before acting that's good too.
Yeah. And I will say the whole Cracklow thing really threw me for a loop, though. I was surprised that he did the fake bad thing for a while. That screwed me up, because he was like, oh, I'm going to be good now. And then he like was like, oh, I'm going to guard his side now. And I was like, oh, he got me.
Oh, and
then he double got me.
So nice. He got me twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of like that bit of, because it doesn't necessarily, like, Cracklow, he did this because, again, what John said, but that didn't just completely change him. At the end, he got what he was after. He wanted to be in a world where people know who he is. Like, that's ultimately what he wanted. So he's not 100% just a good guy now. Like, he did the right thing this time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he'd do the right thing again. And I think that's always more interesting than just have someone completely do a 180 and become a straight good guy. So yeah, I like that part of it.
Yeah.
I'll remember Cracklow for at least another week.
Yeah, they have plenty of magicians that are like bad, and then they yeah. become supervillains or just villains. So like, he's the closest one to my memory now. So,
good.
Until next time, evil magicians.
I don't know. You'll probably
until next time.
You'll probably change your mind when we talk about this next comic, because there's an even more evil magician out there in Trinity number 14.
Yeah, she's kind of an evil magician. She's
straight up evil, man.
Well, yeah, but she's like a god or something like that,
or
a goddess.
You're talking about Cersei, right?
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. Trinity number 14, Dark Destiny Part 3, written by Rob Williams and art by Ken Marion. Sounds right to me.
You're looking
at me like, I don't know about that.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, we'll go with that. But this was good.
Yeah, no, Trinity is one of my favorite books that doesn't get as many issues as the other ones.
Yeah, it's just monthly. So
yeah.
And so, I think that actually kind of, like, so a lot of the good books, like Super Sons and Trinity, like, I kind of hate that they're monthly, but I also think that they are as good as they are because it gives them that extra time.
Yeah, to really work up a story. I specifically like this arc of Trinity, like, a lot.
Yeah, this was great. This continues the arc where we knew Cersei was just going behind everyone's backs and getting a team together. She tried to get Lex Luthor. He's still out, but she got...
he's out. And then she's got Rhaegar Ghul on her team for a little bit. And then he's even starting to, like, he's not dealing with her shit anymore.
He has trust issues. It's fine.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? You said there was going to be three of us, and Lex hasn't been here for a very long time.
You said there'd be three of us. There's only two of us.
And it's like, it's about to be only one of you.
There's three plates of dinner. We know that he's not coming. But no, this continues the arc where Cersei has been trying to kidnap the Trinity by taking over other people from different Trinities to sacrifice them to this thing called the Pandora Pits. I've been wondering what the deal is with these Pandora Pits. We know they can possess people whose blood gets into them and turn them into weird demon people. But I wondered why she was... what was the big deal? And now we know.
Now we know.
Yep. And I think that was actually really... like, I like this. It was just her, basically.
Showed her backstory a little bit for us.
Yeah, and what I like about that is I think she's just a sorceress, but she might have at one point been some kind of goddess. But basically, they told her backstory kind of in the vein of mythology. Like, yeah. We don't know if this is even... to me, when I read it, it's like, we don't even know if this is just 100% how it happened. This could just be how it goes in legend. Of basically how she sold her soul and has been trying ever since to get it back. And now it seems like it's gotten so bad that if she doesn't get it back, she's going to die. And that's why she's just screwing everybody over to get them into these pits and break into hell and get her soul back. Like, that's really cool stuff, and I didn't expect it to go there.
Yeah, it is some good stuff. And we saw a lot of demon people, like you said.
Yeah.
Just a lot of different demon types. The only one we didn't get to see is Wonder Woman. She's the only one who hasn't been demonized yet.
Batman hasn't either.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Because Superman wasn't even fully taken over. He's just been... this was them fighting Superman slash Deadman.
Dead
yeah.
Thing. Going
or would it be on. Would it be Deadman Superman?
I don't know. Super dead.
You're scratching your head. You're like, I don't know. We'll have to get the interns on it.
There's a lot of cool fights. I still really like what Red Hood looks like as a demon.
Yeah,
just because he has a mouth.
His mouth on his hood. And it's always nice to see regular Bizarro again. We're not getting him because he's super smart in his own book right now, The Red Hood and the Outlaws. But just to have regular Bizarro back fighting alongside Demon Superman.
He was really... They were over-Bizarroing him, I think, a little bit. Because, like, every time he would do something, he was like, me, I'm not doing something.
Yeah, I think... That's a hard character. You wouldn't think about that. That's a hard character to write.
I bet.
But it was fine. It felt.
What they were doing eventually. But the first time, I thought they just messed up. Honestly,
I had to go back too. I was like, did they? Is that a typo? But yeah, no. This had some really great moments for the Trinity in particular. It carried over the stuff of basically Superman's the strongest person in the DC universe, and
yeah,
what would happen if he doesn't hold back? And this was us finding out. It was also just a badass moment for Wonder Woman because she's taking on not only Superman but also Bizarro at the same time and winning, and that's just awesome.
And we've seen it before where, like, everybody thinks Superman's the strongest out of everybody in the DC universe, and we've seen, like, a couple times that Wonder Woman could, like, really kick his ass if she needed to.
Yeah, I love any moment like that where Wonder Woman just throws down.
Because at the end of the day, she is, like, a god, a goddess, so...
Yeah. Warrior Princess Higgins.
Yeah. Zeus is her dad.
She is. She's got a couple brothers in there. Well, yeah. We don't talk about this.
Not this week. Not this one.
Yeah, and Batman, I mean, he still does stuff in this. He does what he does best. He kind of fixes everything.
He's being a detective a little bit more often in the Trinity stuff, I feel like.
I like that he wasn't scared when Bizarro showed up. He just whips out that gun.
Yeah, he's like, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, and there's so many Trinities in this particular arc, and I think they have kind of been doing a good job. They're demonizing a couple of them just kind of to get them out of the way for the other Trinities.
Yeah.
But there was still, like, a good Constantine and Zatanna moment, but then she got turned into a demon.
I know. She got turned into a demon. So sad. She said some backwards words, and we're not going to go there.
Which I know you like, Higgins. You love the backwards words. You like that the backwards words are also backwards, so you have to read it from right to left.
Yeah. Because she's a demon. Extra magic.
You're just saying that she's normally a demon.
Extra magic.
It's good, though. I imagine that if it doesn't wrap up next issue, it'll wrap up in the one after that.
I think it'll come to a head at the next one, so.
Yeah, good stuff.
Let's hop into Titans, I guess.
I guess. I might drop it.
It's all right. I want to see what they're doing with Wally, the Black Wally.
It's just so...
A little bit that he's like, maybe because he's out of Teen Titans, they're going to let him in the Titans for a little bit while White Wally's dead.
Yeah, well...
It's possible. I wasn't expecting the person that they revealed to be the person they revealed either, so...
Yeah, well, it's Titans number 16. I guess this might be a new arc, or it just continues over. It's kind of hard to tell.
It's continuing over. It has a different name, but...
The World Stops is what this one's called. And
the World Stops because Wally's dead.
And this book just isn't that good. But this is written by Dan Abnett, and... Art still by Brett Booth. The art's not that great. I've talked about this before. A lot of people hate Brett Booth, like absolutely despise his art style. I don't hate it as much as other people. I do think that it is just kind of generic. Like everyone just has muscles. Everyone kind of looks the same.
Yep.
And that's just not interesting when you have all these characters who are very different in design, and you could do some really interesting stuff with that. And the story, I think, would be... It could be definitely better. Like, I think they might need to think about getting a different writer in there. But also, the fact that it comes out monthly and I have to wait that long for another issue and everything that I read is just kind of mediocre to bad.
Yeah, there's nothing... I mean, like, they progress the story, but nothing really happens that...
You care just, about.
Yeah, like, that I care about or is or it's not jaw-dropping or anything.
Well,
either.
I think the...
Like, even the fact that I didn't know who was going to be, like, basically the one that betrays them or whatever, I wasn't, like...
Whatever.
Yeah, it was like, this is all right, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I thought about it today after I read it. This is, again, continuing an arc where Omen has been worried because Simon, a telepath, told her that someone's going to betray the team. And he even said it was her. And that's just kind of been the last, like, maybe even four or five issues of basically, like, who's the bad guy here? Who did? Who's going to do it? And...
To be fair, he never really said it was her. He did that little tongue twist thing, like the girl Clay or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, which her name is Lilith Clay. Mm. So we were all led to believe it was her. I think when that first issue started, the conversation between the two of them, really interesting. I love that issue.
Yeah.
But everything that keeps going here, like just, it's so convoluted the more it goes. And when you finally get this reveal of, I guess it's a future version of... Donna Troy?
I guess. Like you were mentioning with the art stuff, it even looked like it could have been Lilith Clay, like before she took the mask off. She had the hood on, so I didn't see what color her hair was. It was just like your typical like female superhero body shape.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I should have seen this coming because they've been carrying on this whole thing of Donna Troy, basically. Like, I don't know who I am because... My memories are implants and blah, blah, blah. So I should have seen that this was going to end up being her. And I guess the reason why this version of her is evil is because if it is a future version, like I think it is, it's because Wally died. So what I think is going to happen is, like you said, the other Wally West, Chaco Wally, he's involved now. I guess he is somehow linked to Wally West, the other Wally West. There's too many Wally Wests.
There's two of them, but like at least they made them different.
Different races.
Skin colors, yeah.
Yeah. But basically, what I think is going to happen is that he's going to somehow go back in time and revive Wally. And because Wally never died, Donna Troy never turned to the dark side. And this will eventually just wipe out Troya, I think. Because that's the cliffhanger at the end. It says, like, next time, Troya, which I assume is her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of, like, if this book was maybe bi-weekly and it was still putting out these kind of issues, at least it was be going fast enough to get past it and lead into something better. But this being a monthly book really hurts me. That sucks because these are all characters that I love, minus Garth.
Yeah, that I could do without.
I could take early, like, even if he's there, it's fine. But again, like, I like this team. I like Donna Troy. And they always forget about Donna Troy in comics. So I guess I should be kind of glad that she's
there
right up there. But
she's there twice.
And I love Wally West. Like, the, like, that's my version of the Flash, is that Wally West. Yeah. So I want that character in there. And I don't know, there's just either stuff in this book that's predictable, or it's just not predictable because they make it too convoluted so you can't predict what's going to happen. And by the time you finally get a result, I don't care.
Yep. Yep.
I might read one. I might finish out this arc at least. And if it just really leaves a bad taste in my mouth, I might drop it for a little bit and come back.
You know me, I'm just going to keep reading it, no matter what.
You do love to push through. But yeah, whatever. We got one more book I think we can talk about if you want.
Yeah, we can do that. Superman, right?
33? Oh, we have two more books, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's talk about Superman, number 33.
Yeah, we jumped the gun on the tease, but Superman number 3. We finally got Imperious Lex.
Part 1.
Much to DC Comics website's happiness.
Yeah,
or was it Comixology?
Yeah, I think it's Comixology. They've been saying that this arc has been going on for the last, like, 4 weeks, but we know that's not true, Higgins, because we do the show.
We pay attention.
And we know that this is the start of a new arc.
Called Imperious Legs.
That's right. And the OG team themselves are back. I knew Peter Tomasi was coming back for this.
Peter J. Tomasi?
Peter J. Tomasi himself, but he's not the only one here, Higgins.
You know, there's another guy's name in there. I saw it, but I can't remember it now.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Cool. It's Patrick Gleason.
I don't know who that guy is.
This is the team that started
Rebirth. Oh, okay.
This is the team that basically did the bulk of the Rebirth stuff. And I think eventually Patrick Gleason left for a little bit. And now he's back, it seems. I don't know for how long, but it's good to have him back. And Doug Mankey is also back doing the art. And
yeah.
This is what I wanted to see. Like, this is a good issue.
Yeah.
This is basically...
We got some Lex Luthor stuff, which I feel like has been lacking a little bit.
Yeah, he's kind of been out on the sidelines, I guess.
I know. Like I mentioned in Trinity, he was like, bye, guys. I'm out of here.
I don't want to do this. There's no money in it. He's all about the money, Higgins.
Not as much as Deathstroke, but he likes money.
You can't keep up that super suit with just rice or whatever Cersei's giving him at the local dining hall.
I will say that we haven't had him in recent issues, but... I've been reading Superwoman, and so I got a hefty dose, so like I was kind of burnt out on Lex Luthor a little bit by the time I got to this issue. So,
were you happy to have him back on in this book in particular, though?
Yeah. I like seeing him as his own version of Superman. It's nice to see him try to be a good guy.
It's like, nice to see him care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this. I like the beginning of it because it just has them doing, like, just stopping a minor crime, you know, it doesn't... But they're doing it together, and they're just get a bit of banter back and forth.
Yeah, you see Superman kind of fly off at the end, and then he's like, Lex is like, yeah, I'll take all the credit for this.
He would, yeah.
My good side is my right side, so take pictures from there.
One guy comes up, and he's like, should we do your hair before the interview?
Would you like some nice bronzer for the top?
Like, of course I do. But no, I think, like, again, this is the stuff I wanted to see. This is a good issue and a good start for the whole Kent family. We see there's some stuff going on with Apocalypse. This ties into the New 52 stuff, I know.
I was wondering when they're going to bring that stuff back with that they had, like what, 10, 15 issues ago?
It's been a while, yeah.
With those time-traveling assassin people.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Because remember, he's going to be become the new leader of Apocalypse, and that's what's slowly starting to happen.
Yeah, it looks like that. We know that ever since the New 52 ended, that Darkseid was defeated, and they need, like, Apocalypse just has been without a ruler, and it's an awful planet, but they need a ruler, or else it's even more awful, I guess. And it seems like they're after Lex Luthor.
It seems like that. Like, I don't know where this falls on the timeline as far as, like, everything else, because, like, preteen Darkseid's in there somewhere, so...
Yeah, he's in the different books right now. But I guess they don't... They could just not know that.
Yeah.
So
they're searching around. It's all over the place. But I like Lex kind of, like, falling into this spot.
Yeah, because this is, again, like, when Rebirth started, the New 52 Superman had died. It struck a chord with Lex, this version of Lex Luthor, who basically wanted to become the new hero. He's a cocky son of a bitch. He does it partly because he wants the attention.
The glory, yeah.
But also, he wanted to be a hero for the people. And so now we have this, like, this outside source bringing him to a planet, and they're going to be like, hey, this is all you, man. You do you.
I do like him being pulled into, like, this, like, Darkseid Apocalypse position more, that because he's been trying to be good as yeah, of late.
That's what I'm saying. I think that that's pretty much going to be it. I think that it's going to be a struggle of basically, like, do I keep kind of living this new life that I'm trying out, or do I go back into my old ways?
He's going to get a lot of power.
He's going to be so much power, Higgins. That suit's just going to be, it's going to be on overdrive.
It's going to be too much.
They're going to take his cape away.
But yeah, more new God stuff. They've been throwing new God stuff at us left and right since the beginning of Rebirth. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Most of the time.
I think it's pretty fun.
Some grandma goodness.
Granny.
Granny goodness. Whatever. Goodness.
You're going a lot more formal with the title. I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess she didn't get whacked to death like in Mr. Miracle.
She's still alive. She got her throat slit in that one.
Some heavy stuff for sure.
Yeah, but she's back. She looked real evil.
She looks good.
It was nice.
Like, you look good for a corpse without a head. Good for you. But And this isn't just about them. Superman looks like he's getting dragged into it for some reason, and the family. I'm glad they brought the family with him.
It's something to do with him being Kryptonian, because Lex Luthor was finding him for some reason.
I guess it's like some kind of protocol that Lex designed, that if something happens to him and he goes off world, then he's got
Superman
these.
Superman can save him.
Yeah, and I guess that's why. We'll find out, because they get transported to Apocalypse. But I like that the family's going to be with them. They're separated right now.
They're all in different parts. And like, to not be fair, Superman's in like the nicest spot on like Apocalypse. He's practically beachside.
He might as well be at the spa.
I know. And they're over there like literally like mid battle. It's like Lois Lane cannot be in the middle of this right now.
That's a strong, independent woman you're talking about.
She's not going to be able to take down, like, parademons and stuff.
She's going to get out of it and come back with a great
story.
She
doesn't have her Batman suit.
She doesn't. She needs that Batman suit. Or that,
just the claw, at least.
That weird taser thing that she had in the last arc.
Yeah, so Superman can find her.
Yeah, exactly. But, I like that. I want the family to be in here, because that's what this book started out as. It's a book of not just about Superman. Action Comics is more along those lines, but this is about the family. And I think they kind of lost that with the filler arcs, and it seems like we're going right back to it. So, yeah, good stuff.
Back into the family. I got a healthy dose of Super Family this week.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You want to go into more good stuff? We got one more good thing, Higgins.
What's our one more good thing? Is it the Batman? The drowned Batman?
The drowned Batman. Batman the Drowned, number one, Higgins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is...
I guess we'll call it Batman the Drowned.
That's what
we could call it, Batwoman the Drowned, but that's a different character.
These people aren't about technicals, Higgins.
Oh, I understand.
They've got a story to tell, and they're here to tell us about Batman the Drowned, number one, written by Dan Abnett, and this has art by Philip Tan and Tyler Kirkham.
So, back to the man-woman thing. when we first saw it, we were like, that's obviously a woman. Like, she's going to be the Aqua version of Batman.
The Aqua Woman Batman version?
Yeah. So we were like, I wonder if it's just her, if it's a full-on swap. And it is a full-on swap.
Yeah, this is
a... We saw an Aqua Woman, and did we see a guy version of Mira?
No.
No?
Yeah, we just saw... which I like that. Yeah, you're right, that in this world, we know that this is another one-shot about the evil Batman who linked to Dark Knight's Metal, and this is just another origin story. This one's about the Aquaman Batman hybrid thing that we saw a while back, and in her world, genders are swapped. That's cool. I think that's a good way to introduce something new to these origins, because we've seen versions where they fuse with one of the other heroes, or they take their technology and put it in themselves. So this adds something fresh to it. Fresh as that water she's spewing out of her mouth.
The only thing I'm not thrilled about is the main reason she becomes the way she is because her version of Aquawoman is just being a dick, like Aquaman and Aquawoman normally is. And that's what like forces her to like start like make herself have gills and breathe underwater, because she has to take down her Aquawoman because she's being a dick and like trying to take over or like fight the land, basically.
It's just basically like this has been done kind of with Aquaman before and like Elseworld stuff, but this version of Aquaman has come in peace, supposedly, and then just turns around. And as Higgins put it quite eloquently, she's a dick.
She's a dick.
But I do, I get why that's actually a little frustrating. I do. But I do like how they went about transforming this version of, what's her name? Bryce Wayne?
Bryce Wayne. Yeah. They They didn't stretch too far, but I think they did the best they could with the name Bruce.
You told me, because when I read it as Bruce Wayne, because they only mentioned her name once. So
they had, they had one of the curvy Y's, so it's like, you could have just thought it was like a really long, like,
you.
Yeah, really long U.
But you told me, and honestly, like, why can't she be named Bruce Wayne? It's 2017, Higgins. Girls can be named Bruce, too, in my opinion.
I don't want to meet a girl named Bruce.
Fair enough. But I like that. She used her smarts to find a way to beat this version of Aquaman, and it was just giving herself gills and also using technology to make her own army, and now she has powers. Like, that's really cool.
She's got the I don't know what it's called. Death power, water? Dead water. Water?
Yeah, like...
Dead water.
Basically, it seems like she can take over other aquatic life.
And make them dead.
And spew water. I don't know how the water thing works.
I don't know. She can control water. Like, she's got the telekinesis with the water thing going on, too.
And this goes, I think, really well. Like, this is probably the best issue that's gone into kind of their motivations of... We know, just as these Dark Knights do, that their negative multi-worlds are destined to die. And we find out kind of the reason why that is so the versions of the worlds we know, like where the main heroes are, can prosper and live. And obviously, like, that's not really fair. Like, why should their worlds have to perish just so the other ones can live? And she's had her own troubles. The love of her life, I think his name's Sylvester.
Sylvester? But, yeah, I don't know. And maybe that's their take on Selena. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that, because his last name was Kyle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, good catch, Higgins. Yeah, I did. I think I was just taken aback by the name.
Sylvester's a pretty good name for, like, a cat man, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Sylvester from, like Tweety Bird.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, that's dead on
to
me.
They worked it in there on us.
That's dead on to me. I thought it was dumb at first, but now I like it. But anyway, like, she lost the love of her life, and... This issue is all about, you know, like, perish, you know, being underwater and being alone. And she's like, I was alone. Like, it's real Batman-ish. She's like, I was alone before the water even came. So now I want to drown everybody. And, you know, it's like, I thought the light was a good thing at first. Now I realize how terrible it is. Like, it's just all, it's very Batman-esque, like very Batman monologue-ish. And I this is probably my favorite issue of it.
Wow. You're going to say that? And I was just about to say that this is like, Not my favorite issue.
Which one I really like, as far as the Dark Knight Metal stuff goes, this is my favorite.
I really like the Green Lantern one, but like, I know that's not your favorite either.
Yeah,
Cyborg is my least favorite by far, and then the other one was the Flash one was just real neat. It wasn't like great.
Yeah. I'd say it's like
One's definitely second off as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they've all been good. I think that for me in particular, this kind of did stuff with. This version of this character, and also more stuff for the Dark Knight's Metal stuff that really kind of clicked with me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you had with the last Green Lantern one. So it, like, I think I don't think there's any like right or wrong or favorite or bad one. I think this is just the one I like the most. Plus I love the character design of this. Like, she looks like a pirate, but also looks like an Aquawoman bat
person. Yeah, you said the art and isn't like, hasn't Aquaman been that other guy, Steven Sjebic or whatever his name is?
Stefan Sibjic?
Yeah, whatever it is. But it's someone...
Well, this is art by Philip Tan and Tyler Kirkham. We've seen Tyler Kirkham's
art
before.
Tyler Kirkham, plenty of stuff. I don't know where Philip Tan is. But yeah, they picked a different guy, so...
Yeah. It's good.
It's mixed up, but... Yeah.
And this is definitely, like, out of all the issues we read by Dan Abnett, this is definitely his best one, because Titans was awful. But I'm ready for it. I think
it's kind of weird that they've been doing it like that, though, because it hasn't in the past. Like, does Dan Abnett normally write Aquaman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
He's normally, I think he's been writing both Titans and Aquaman since pretty much the Rebirth launch. Maybe like on and off again, they'll get someone else for Titans. But as far as I know, he's written a big chunk of the Aquaman stuff. I need to read that.
Because I just know in the past couple issues, they've like kept the whole team like together for like all the issues kind of thing.
Yeah, like Sam Humphries will write the Green Lantern Batman book, and Joshua Williamson did the Flash one. So I actually kind of like that. It makes sense that they're doing those characters. So I think like they think that'll be a way to blend in those characters with the Batman versions of themselves. So that's good. I did like the female Batman costume she had before she became all pirate and gross looking.
Yeah, it was pretty good, but. Yeah, the weird pirate thing with the eye being all weird and stuff. I don't know.
I guess it's just the DNA she mixes with herself.
Yeah.
Oh, you know one thing you do know, Higgins? Is that Aquaman's a dick.
Yep.
That's what, if anything, if we're going to get anything out of this episode, it's Aquaman. That.
Aquaman. And Aquaman, for that matter, in most things.
Yeah, he can be, for sure.
As long as along the same lines.
Yep, but I don't think I really have anything else to say.
I might as well just stop, right? See, I didn't have the gumption to finish that sentence.
I don't know what you're doing, Snoop.
I don't know what I'm doing either, Higgins.
You know what we can do? We can let the people go.
All right, that's great. You can find me on Twitter at Snoop_Lynch.
You can find me on Twitter at MikeHiggins93.
And ask us some questions, or don't, yeah, or just say hi. You can say hi if you want to.
I would love for you to say hi, absolutely. And you can let us know what your favorite issue of the week was. It doesn't have to be DC related. I mean, we might not have as many opinions on it, but we'd still be happy to listen.
Yeah, we can listen. Or just read. Probably read, since it's on Twitter, but...
I mean, send us an audio message, yep, and we'll listen.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Bye.
And join us for next week, though. Oh. Bye yet. We're not done.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez. Get ready for next week when we read other things. If you like this episode, you want to listen to more, you find those on SoundCloud and Stitcher and iTunes. Higgins says that you can find them on Spotify sometimes, maybe. Look at there.
Yeah, I've seen podcasts on there.
Yeah.
It's the thing they're doing now.
They just take the ones they want, I guess. And we made the cut.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't see the other guy on there, so.
Okay. But, yeah, find those on there. If you could, just leave a small little review on iTunes, maybe. It'll help boost morale. Well, Higgins is so happy about an iTunes review. Let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, all that stuff. And we'll see you again later.
All right, bye, guys.
You got to give your sign off, Higgins.
Bye.
Nope.
Bye-bye.
There, close enough.